another episode of I Never Shut Up Anyway, a podcast about music, writing, creativity, entrepreneurship, and anything else that I like because it's my podcast, which I'm having so much fun with. I invite some of my favorite creators to talk about their journeys and their careers. Today's guest, to put it simply, is one of my favorite musicians recently. I've had his album on repeat ever since the day it came out. It is beyond phenomenal, and I am not just saying that because he's on my podcast. I had so much fun preparing for this interview, and I had even more fun interviewing him. He plays a stripped-down version of his song Saren, which might just be the softest thing you've ever heard in your life. Stick around to hear my interview with Ike right after the break. How are you holding up through all of this?
Good. I'm actually enjoying my own company way more than I thought right now.
Really?
Yeah, I just can't wait to go back. Because supposedly this is the year where I can finally go back to Egypt. And then like, life was like, psych, global pandemic. But
okay. You have a new album out. It's called From Both Sides of the Atlantic. Is that the title because you were born in Alexandria and then you moved to Orlando? Or
no. No, the album is called From Both Sides of the Atlantic because the theme of the album is mostly like existentialism and breakups. And I was dating a girl, and she was living in the UK, and I was living here. So it's both sides of the Atlantic.
Oh, I thought it was because, you know, you were from both sides of the Atlantic. That's way cooler. There's a song on the album called Music Box Lullaby, one of my favorites, by the way. You put it out a little bit before the album came out. And there's a line in there that resonates with me so much. And it says, "Forgive my only sin of loving the words more than the women that inspire them." And it doesn't resonate with me because I've literally been through that. But because a lot of the time when I'm writing out of sheer fantasy or about, you know, the idea of something rather than the person that I'm writing about. Is there a song on the album that's based completely on fantasy or on the idea of something or someone?
The most part, Danny, if you want to dissect it clearly, it's about three people. Some of the songs like Zarathustra's Descent and Abdurrahman, that's about me. Most of the other, Mon Amour is about a specific girl. Then all of the other songs are about another girl.
I love that.
Nothing is fantasy. No, it's all legit.
That's pretty cool. I think it's a little bit sad that I write mostly out of fantasy, but it could be a creative outlet kind of thing.
Fantasy, when I wrote Woman, I was very happy in my relationship. So technically that's fantasy because I'm writing about a woman who left when she was right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I think that counts, you know, for fantasy. You're writing about something that hasn't necessarily happened, you know? Okay. Tell me what your creative process is like. How do you build a song? Is it lyrics and then music? Is it music and then lyrics? Is it a riff?
I don't build in the studio. I had the whole album ready and then I booked a studio for me to record. I have a loop pedal, so I play a riff on the guitar that I like. Mm-hmm. And then I loop it and it keeps playing, and then I come up with a melody for the song, what I'm gonna sing, and then I add the bass line, the drums, the keyboards, whatever. That's usually, it's music first then lyrics. Is this it, Masalan? I was driving and then kept hearing this melody in my head of like the of what the lyrics are, so it started with the melody and then I based the music on it. But it's usually music first and then lyrics,
which I love. Like, to me, that sounds like the most out of world experience. I cannot imagine coming up with music.
It's a bit weird because I remember throughout my younger years, I was only listening to like death metal. Ever since I was 12, I was jamming with people who were like 22, 23, and we'd listen to like, you know, like grotesque Icelandic metal. It resonated with me in that part, despite the screaming and Kodal Hagadi, it touched me, but the melody. Like, I like melodies a lot, especially like sentimental or emotional ones. So when writing a music, it usually like I'm just messing with the guitar and then I hear something that I like. I loop it and then I come up with like, oh, we want a groovy bass line or we want just a chill thing and so on. And yeah, that's really how it starts. I can't think of like, I'm not like, I did ayahuasca and I saw a green fairy. a bedroom, yeah.
It's still as magical as seeing a green fairy, because you came up with something out of nothing, which is pretty magical to me. Okay, when did you finish the whole thing? When did you finish recording and writing the album? I know you said you started it in 2017. How long did the whole thing take?
Because it's different, because I started writing music like for the purpose of recording in 2017. That's when I dropped my first EP in November. That's when my first song ever, Violet, came out. I mean, to be honest with you, I started writing since 2017. I dropped the EP. But I would consider the writing process for this album started when I was like, okay, I want to make an album, which was probably early 2018, maybe the end of 2018. I don't know. It's been a while. Like, I've been sitting on these songs for a while.
Does it feel like you're putting out something that you don't resonate with as much just because you're putting it out so much later than you when you made it?
Not necessarily. Well, the lyrics remain true, but مثلا when I listen to it, I feel no pain, you know? Mm-hmm. Some of the songs are brand new, though, like Abd al-Rahman, Midsummer Walks. What else are new? I think Abd al-Rahman was the last song I wrote. What else is that? They're all like a year old now, Haga.
Yeah.
I just remember like when I put out the album, I was like, man, fuck this. Like, I'm happy now. I want to put out like poppy music, you know? Or, like, next time.
Put out poppy music, Elahu. That would slap.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. Okay. I'm always really interested to know who the producers and who the writers of, you know, the music are. So who produced the album and did you have any co-writers on it?
There's no co-writers, it's all me. All the lyrics, all the music, every instrument that's played is me. The producer, I used a guy named Anthony Murphy. He has a home recording studio called Riff City Studios. So I would go to him, because he had, like, I don't have any recording equipment. So I would go to him and utilize his studio. He's a thrill to work with, so.
That's brilliant. I love that you wrote it all on your own. It sounds like a way cooler version of a journal.
Very good point, Ashan. I don't pride myself as an actor or as a musician as most as a writer. What I would like to resonate most with the listener is the words rather than music or melody. I like my music, but I like my writing more.
I like your lyrics a lot. I love Music Box Lullaby. I like the lyrics. I just love them so much. It's one of those songs that if you completely remove the music and you just read it out, it could completely be a poem. Like, it could live as a poem.
That means a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for making it. In terms of lyrical concepts, which song is your favorite?
I think probably Mon Amour. For no particular reason other than that I like how it's more like of a dialogue song. You know, like my favorite lyric part of it is like when I'm like, oh, what's the wish? Just I'll make it come true. Just blow the kiss and snap the fingers. To me, that's probably the best lyric I wrote. It's not deep. You know, it has no like hidden meanings, but it's just straightforward. And I liked it. That's it.
I love how much you like it.
I do. I like it a lot. The song didn't come out the way I wanted it. I don't know if that's my problem because like you have to understand, like I'm not going to like a professional studio, you know, it's all like your Joe's trying to make an album, you know. I'm an average Joe's writer. There's some elements in the album where I was like, probably to the average listener, they might not catch up on it, but since I know what I wanted to sound like, I didn't find that. But still, the lyrics remain unchanged, so that's good enough.
Hey, Billie Eilish made her first album in her brother's bedroom, and it slapped. It went to number one, so never undermine the studio that you worked in.
Never, never. No, I'm very, very grateful for that.
Okay. What were you listening to when you made the album? Because sometimes when what you're listening to when you're creating changes what you make.
I've been listening to the same artist for the past like 4 years. There's Paolo Nutini, number one, 100% always. Alex Turner's other band, not Arctic Monkeys, The Last Shadow Puppets.
Last Shadow Puppets.
I love the symphonies in it. The inspiration behind Mon Amour, Last Shadow Puppets, 100% music-wise. Who else? Wigs? No, I'm joking. I think those two are the most, like, people I've been persistently listening to in a while. Duffy as well. Oh, How could I not? Julian Casablancas, Strokes. These 4 or 5 years, yeah. 100%.
It's funny you didn't say Lana Del Rey, because the first time I heard it, I thought it sounded like the male version of Lana and just like way more weed.
Funny you say that. I don't smoke weed.
It's okay. It's a state of mind.
But yeah, Violet. Yeah, true. That's a good point. Yeah, Violet number 2 is very like Lana Del Rey inspired. To me, at least, like the violins and whatnot.
You have a song on your EP. It's in Arabic. It's called Rat Al Hawa. Where do you stand on making more Arabic music?
I blanked. I do listen to Arabic music, though. I love Arabic music. It's funny you say that. For the past 2 days, I've been listening to nothing but Habibi Yeah, Tat Muhammad Fouad. I'm like, the production on this shit is like top notch. Sarah. But who Arabic musicians do I like? I can't remember, man. I'm blanking. Like, I don't listen to Amr Diab or anything very mainstream.
There's nothing wrong with mainstream things.
No, nothing wrong with it at all. I could never get it. I actually love Wigs. I love Wigs. What can I say? I love that dude. It's great. He makes great music. Alexandrian King too, so you know.
Y'all be winning. You get the best ones. I forgot what my question was from how long you took to answer. What did I say?
Well, Arabic music influence.
Oh, yeah. No, I asked if you were going to make more Arabic music.
Oh, is that the question?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have shit ton of Arabic songs written.
Okay, why didn't you put them on the album?
They didn't relate to the album. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a lot of music that I actually want to put out, but it wouldn't work for this album. Actually, my best friend wants me to release an Arabic song that he loves, but when I write Arabic songs, like I think my Arabic knowledge is far more superior than my English, like linguistics wise.
Really?
Yeah, most definitely. When I was young, I was so infatuated with the Arabic language. So some of my words actually, like, he was like, you can't publish this. Whether it's political or it's considered blasphemy, but some of the words are heavy, but I love them, you know? So maybe when I get enough power to be untouched, I'll post that shit.
Yeah, maybe in 5 years.
Yeah, it's after 5 years. I don't want to go back and be like, you know?
Okay, fair enough. Do you have your guitar around?
I do.
All right, Ike is gonna play Siren from his EP, Ike, right now.
Word on the street and now is that I'm falling, is that I'm falling down, down, down. Her name is tattooed on my lips now, 'cause I'm calling, calling for her all around. Baby, take me back. A few shots of gasoline turned a churchman to a sinner now. To oh her door, darling, I'm on my knees, I'm asking graciously, take me back home. Oh, darling, I'm on my knees, graciously. Heard she's got her own man now. Does he love you? Does he fuck you like I do? Serves me well now that I've done, did you wrong, done you wrong. There's the scream inside that I hide, keeps us alive, lets us survive. Like a virgin wears the white, gray where the sun don't shine, comes a doll with two black eyes. With all the vows and her ring tie, spoke my darling sacrifice like a deer into the light. Said we'll start a family and now the only memory she has is the police sketch of my mask. Oh Lord, oh, only memory she has, police sketch of my mask. Oh Lord. Oh,
Bro, you literally poked a hole through my chest and ripped my heart out. I love that.
Did I?
Yes, you did. And I've heard this song before. It just sounds so much more raw.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I love it.
I wrote this while listening to Frank Ocean, another inspiration. There we go.
There we go. Stick around for the rest of my chat with Ike right after the break. You can stream Ike's debut album from both sides of the Atlantic on all music platforms right now. Okay, let me take it back a few years. What first got you into music?
I don't remember a time like before it.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I bought my first guitar when I was 7. I was shit, but like it meant everything. I remember I was like, and I was like, bro, that's a solo right there. It made no sense, but like it dignified me, you know?
Yeah, I'm shit at guitar now, but I still do it.
Good, keep going.
I will. How old were you for your first performance?
I think I was 14 and we did the Color Festival. Remember that?
How old are you right now? You're 23?
22.
Okay, and I'm 18. When you were 14, I was 10. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Never mind. There was this thing going on in Egypt for a while. It was called the Color Festival, which people like would...
I know what the Color Festival is.
Yeah, so we would go there and like people would just get sprayed with color. And I remember we went and we played like Megadeth covers and Metallica covers. We did not belong, you know what I mean?
Oh my god.
Definitely had no business trying to growl at 14.
What did you sing?
We did Megadeth Symphony of Destruction. We did Metallica King of Nothing.
Very ambitious.
Oh yeah, yeah. And we did Harvest by Opeth.
I cannot imagine you like...
I'm like tiny, you know? Like, not one chest hair, like, prepubescent, and everyone around me is, like, adults. Like someone is so rough because they just got out of the military and whatnot. I did not belong there. But best years, still amazing Facebook friends, you know?
Yeah. And I think you've mentioned it a couple of times that you had friends that were way, way older than you, and I think it's probably shaped you in a way or another.
In a terrible way as well, because, like, I remember specifically being, like... The girl I want to end up with has to be much older than me. Because I started school very, very young. I graduated high school when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So everyone around me in my grade was constantly like 2 to 3 years older than me.
Yeah. Okay. In terms of concerts, I know everything is completely canceled right now. But hopefully after all of this is over, is there a plan?
Yes. In Egypt. We're contacting a few avenues together. Where we're hopefully, some of the people I grew up with play music, I called them and I was like, hey, if I come back to Egypt and I'm playing a gig, I'll need like backup musicians because I can't do it all. So I have the band ready and I have my eyes on a few avenues together. So hopefully when I come back, I got actually a year ago, a representative from the TAP in Mahadi contacted me and they were like, we'd love to have you. So yeah, I have some things aligned. I can't wait for that to Saraha. Like, that's one of my main goals when I go back to perform live.
Okay, you have a couple pretty sick tattoos. You have one that's, I don't know where it is, but it's the butterfly that Harry has on his stomach. I know you like him. Is that the reason?
Yeah, I'm in love with him, but it wasn't because of hairstyles. It was someone much cooler than him. No offense.
Honestly, none taken. I bet he was. Are you planning any tattoos in honor of the album?
I thought about it a lot. I just couldn't figure out what it was that I was getting. But I'd love to commemorate this album by a tattoo for sure.
Okay. I always ask my guests to shout out 3 artists, creators, you know, whatever, whoever you want to shout out that you think deserves more recognition. So have at it.
So I have 5 people to shout out that deserves recognition. Number one, Farida Bustani. She's a photographer. There's absolute magic in her work. Absolute. You watch that shit and it's just pure joy and bliss. Her photos just bring you bliss. It's like sun. Second person I have is Zeina Suleiman. Can't really describe what Zeina does.
I guess the closest would be a visual artist. Also a painter. She's a beautiful painter. But the girl has genius in her mind, you know. She's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Third person I want to give a shout out to is Abdurrahman Ounoub. He's been one of my closest mates for the past, like, 15 years, mesela. Brilliant musician. He had a lot of projects, Tawan, and I think it was called Astral Matter. I can't remember, I'm sorry. But he's working on his own album right now, so wait up for that. The guy's knowledge of music is impeccable. The last two I have are Miriam Ahmed and Hannah Sabah, both journalists, both indomitable writers. If there's ever a womanhood movement in Egypt, just make sure that both of them are going to be on the front lines. Besides being journalists, they're amazing poets, man. Their writing is just so raw and strong. My God, I love my friends.
I love your passion about your friends. I love your passion about everything that you love.
Thank you. It means a lot.
You have such a... Like, when you're talking and you lose yourself in the middle, it's like you're genuinely enjoying yourself.
I am. I'm trying to. That's my only rebellion against life.
It is. Thank you so much for being on. You are just such a joy to be around. You are just such a joy. I love the album. And I'm not just saying that because you're my guest. I genuinely do love the album. I've only heard it twice, top to bottom. And I already have so many, like, favorites. And the fact that I already have so many favorites means that there is not a bad song in the album. And I say that with, like, complete honesty. I love it so much. I loved every bit of it, and I loved every bit of having you on. You're just so wonderful. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me, Bed. It meant a lot, and you have a very eloquent and warm presence about you, so keep doing this.
Oh, thank you so much.
Wait, you're friends with Rola, right?
She's my best friend.
We gotta give a shout out to Rola, the best TikToker out there. Brilliant. She's a lovely girl as well.
She is. She's my favorite person in the world. It's unbelievable that Annie, she's this genuinely so kind and just so full of, like, light.
No, get that. Ventibella, though. I like that about it.
Yeah, it's funny, and people don't understand, and we're talking about this is, like, genuinely what she's like. Like, there's not an ounce of it that she's faking.
Yeah, she just wants a boyfriend, guys. Relax.
Once again, thank you so much for having this chat with me. You're just impeccably awesome. Like, I had so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you. Takes one to know one.
Once again, you can stream Ike's debut album From Both Sides of the Atlantic on all music platforms. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you next week.